With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
The Industry Review with One for All gift cards from Unpost. Tax-free staff rewards up to €1,500 per employee per year. Available online or at your local post office.
Now, for today's industry panel, we'll be talking about the challenges and opportunities in business and facing driving schools and driving instructors today. I'm delighted to welcome to the program, Kevin Horgan, the founder of the National Driving School. Also joining us is Dominic Brophy, the co-director of Professional Driving, the Professional Driving Instructors Association, and Lara Lewis, a driving instructor at Lara Lewis Automatic Lessons. You're all very welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Bobby.
So welcome one and all. This is a subject I'm looking forward to talking about. So maybe we'll start and you can tell us a little bit about yourselves and indeed your business. So, Kevin, we might start with you.
Yeah, Bobby, thanks for having us on. It's an interesting topic that we're talking about today. 32 years I'm teaching. Things have changed since we had no computers or phones back then.
Right.
It's become a very fast world. National Driving School came about then, and pleased to say we've got over 107 instructors throughout the country doing well, but we've seen lots of changes in over the last 32 years.
Okay, so I'm going to be very interested to see how the industry and indeed the business has changed over that time. So we'll come back to that.
Yep.
Dominic, you might tell us about yourself. You're the co-director of the Professional Driver Instructors Association.
Yes, I'm the co-director along with my colleague, Dara Dunn. I'm also a working driving instructor for the last 20 years.
Where do you operate out of?
I operate all of the north of Dublin, north side of Dublin.
Okay.
And I've been a director. We've been set up as a Professional Driving Instructors Association for the last 2 years. We have two main goals. Our number one goal always is road safety. And our second goal is to speak on behalf of our members of driving instructors and their input into their own businesses and road safety and their opinions on how things are going at the moment.
And Lara Lewis, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
And it's Lara Lewis Automatic Lessons.
Well, actually, I teach both, but I tend to sort of concentrate on the automatic. It's a lot easier.
One of the questions I had was, is with the, I suppose, the introduction of electric cars particularly, is the stick shift going to be a thing in the past? And do many people now just say, well, why would I need that?
Well, look, there's people who will disagree with me, but on a personal level and from an instructor's point of view, whereby I get bucket loads of calls from people, everybody seems to be looking for automatic. So, like, even though, as I say, I teach manual and automatic, my main bulk of calls come from people looking for automatic.
Right. That's
but
interesting.
The other guys might disagree with me. I don't know.
And, Kevin, on that, is that a trend you were talking there about?
Yeah, well, you see
things that have changed. So,
yeah, so
that's clearly one.
The younger generation have become more green and, you know, the parents are driving electric cars and automatic, and it's regionalised as well. So you'd get probably less demand down the country, maybe in rural areas, you know, Carlow, than you would in Dublin, say, in Dunleary, you know. So it's coming, I think, but it's not going to be at the pace that we, you know, 20 years ago, automatic was just starting. It's come along. And as Lara said, she's doing a lot of automatic work. So it's a mix, but I think people still traditionally like the stick shift and they feel mentally it's a bit cheaper for them as well.
But I suppose at the end of the day, you know, people will do, like, I could see an argument that, is it easier to learn an automatic?
Yeah. Like, I learned in manual, and like, I remember going to the States with my dad when I was 16, and that's a long, long time ago. And it was all automatic then. And I felt like such a superstar driving on that interstate, you know, as a 16-year-old in an automatic car. And I never thought that that would be the case here. But I mean, we're a little bit behind them, and I think we're a little bit behind the UK, but we're slowly getting to a stage where it will be, I'd say.
Dominic, just maybe remind us about this new legislation around learner permits. And again, I don't want to get into a big political discussion, but essentially, what's changed here?
Well, the change is coming in on the 1st of November next year. And basically what it's saying, without getting too technical about it, is that after 7 years, if somebody's been learning how to drive and they've had four learner permits, and they haven't passed their test, then they have to go back to the beginning. They have to do their theory test, and they would have to go through the 12 EDT lessons again.
Doesn't sound unreasonable.
Well,
surely if you've got that number of years to it, that, you know, you actually, it's very conceivable that that should be attainable.
Well, I think when somebody receives their learner permit, they pass their theory test, they have to understand that this is not a form of ID. It's not a way of scamming the system and just reapplying for learner permit after learner permit. So they have to understand that when you receive that learner permit, it's the first stage of learning how to drive. And the end goal is to get to a test centre and see your driving test and hopefully pass.
And this loophole has resulted in people being on learner permits for decades and applying for a test and then not showing up, which is... cause, like, that would just waste everybody's time.
But this is not a new problem. You would remember, Bobby, and I think it was 1979, 1980.
My sister got one and I didn't until I was ever since resentful
and
of it.
And even back then, we're talking about nearly 40 years ago, we still had the same problem where everybody was just reapplying to what was called a provisional license at the time and never sitting a driving test and never applying for a full license. So in reality, it had to change, and it is changing, and I hope the general public embrace it and understand what the idea of getting a learner permit is about. It's exactly what it says. It's to learn how to drive and to pass a driving test.
But the figures, Bobby, are there. The 64,000 learner drivers in Ireland have held three or more permits. 22,000 have had between 10 and 20, and 1,800 have had 20 to 30 permits in Ireland.
And there's 14 on more than 30. 14 people in the country on more than...
Plus 9,000 over 60 years of age on permits as well.
Yeah.
4,500 over 60, 1,570.
Maybe another question, and maybe you're not qualified, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but does insurance not sort this out? In other words, if I want to get insurance, surely I'm a better prospect and I'll get a better price if I'm a fully qualified driver than somebody who's had seven or eight provisionals.
But you see, the insurance hasn't changed for these people over the years. It's 200 or 300 euro for somebody down the country, you know, in their 60s or whatever. They're not changing. They don't look for the license even for a renewal on. They just renew the insurance year after year after year.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
And there's also so many variables with insurance, like the value of your car, the type of your car, your engine, your age, your gender, you know. So it's based on so many different variables. It's not, there's no focus on the fact that you don't have.
It's also feeding
license
into the amount of testers are not sitting. So Dominic, was 6,000, was it last year, that didn't show up for a test, and testers are there to do the test, which could be given to somebody who's genuinely looking for a test, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The point is just wasting everybody's time.
100%.
Okay, we have a few texts in. I knew we'd get a few. And one text asks, do they still ask you to do three-point turns during a driving test?
Yeah, well, it's not called a three-point turn anymore, but it's called a turnabout. But yes, they do. Yeah.
Right. What about reversing around the corner?
Unfortunately, yes.
Hill start?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now we're getting somewhere. Another texter here says, I think people should have to resit a test every 10 years. People develop bad habits. That comes from Carl.
I'm not sure about having to reset a test, but I certainly think that if you have received X amount of penalty points and you have been caught for dangerous driving, you should be forced to readdress your driving skills. Yes.
Well, the PDIA, we met with Minister Sean Canny just last month, and we did recommend to him not resetting a test, but when you reapply for your new driving license after 10 years, that it should be obligatory to have at least one driving lesson. This is not a test. It's a check-in with your ADI, your driving instructor, and it's a friendly atmosphere where I would just say it was you, Bobby, I would just say, oh, by the way, you're taking your left turns a little bit wide, or that you're not taking your right turns on main roads correctly.
Because you do develop bad habits.
And you know, it takes the pressure off the driver because they know it's not a test. And it would be a nice atmosphere in the car, and you're just pointing out certain things. But that should be obligatory before you renew your new 10-year license.
I interesting enough, I was on holidays in Florida, just back, and I went to see if I could get a Florida driving license, because there's all sorts of things that you can get with one.
Yeah.
And I suggested that won't be a problem, so I marched in, and the first thing the guy said to me is, sorry, Mr. Kerr, you'll have to sit your test again. This is me, 65 years of age, having to go and do my test again. So it works in other parts of the world. Tell us a little bit about the business. Let's look at that. Self-employed?
I'm self-employed, yeah.
And so there's only one of you, and it's never going to be replaced by AI, or maybe it might be, but I don't think it will be.
Well, we were actually just discussing that before we came in, because Georgia, I don't know, it's probably other countries as well, but they have like a robotic system where the car actually takes you on the test. So it's a very standardized result. You know, you're not being judged by human. And Dominic said, oh God, we better not promote that because we'll be out of work. But I can't actually see the driving instructors are going to be replaced anytime soon. Because,
yeah.
I mean, like I find in the car, like I feel like sometimes I'm their mother, I'm their counsellor, I'm their teacher, I'm their guidance, I'm their safety person, you know, so I can't see how anything can replace
like
that.
It's a big milestone in one's life to pass one's driving test, and I think I'm not surprised that the relationship that you have, even if it's only for a short period of time with your customer or your client, is a strong one.
Oh,
and a memorable
huge.
One.
Yeah, it's huge, because you bring them from kind of conception right through to completion. And like my favorite part of my job is when they message me and go, I passed. Thank you so much for all your help. I mean, that is the beauty of the job. I don't really wake up every morning and go, I cannot wait to go on that driving lesson this morning. But I do love that text message when they say I passed, you know.
In terms of becoming a driving instructor, Kevin, there's a texter here who says, I've started the process of becoming a driving instructor. Do you have any advice for people coming into the industry?
Yeah, well, it's a changed industry over the last number of years, 30 years, and I've been involved. And it's a three-step process to become an instructor: theory, and then the driving test stage two, and then the instructional ability stage three. That's been there since really inception with the RSA. The three phases.
Well, 2000 and it didn't come in straight away. 2006, the RSA came in, and then they introduced the EDT system, and then the three-tier test.
Yeah, the part one is quite tough. There's a lot of content, a lot of theory involved in that RSA, books and PDFs, and a lot of content on that. Stage two then is the driving ability. Probably takes about 12 to 16 hours to get up to the level that the RSA want, and then same for stage three. So it is a step by step. It's a slower process than it was years ago, because it's taken now 9 months to a year. The RSA are way behind when it comes to the tests on this, just down to lack of staff, I suppose. But it's a worthwhile process once you start, and it is career changing, and it is worthwhile now, because pay is different than it was 30 years ago when it was £5 an hour or £7 back then. So it is worthwhile, but you've got to do it right, and there's no half measures when you're trying to become an instructor. You know? And source who you train with. Very, very important that you're training with a proper institution, you know?
And the driving testers that work for the department, are many of them ex-driving instructors?
Well, some of them would be.
Yeah. Is that a career path out of it, or?
Well, it can be.
Yeah.
But I think most driving instructors, they don't really look to be a driving tester, because, as Lara was saying there, you build up a nice relationship with your customers. There's great job satisfaction in it. And I'm not diminishing the job that testers do, but they have no input. They're testers, you know what I mean? Yeah. They observe what's happening. Whereas we get the satisfaction of thinking, okay, this person came out so nervous on the first day and now look at them, they're flying and now they've passed their test. And there's great job satisfaction in that. I personally would never like to be a tester. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that other people wouldn't.
You know? My students ask me all the time, would you ever be a tester? And no disrespect to them, they do a fantastic job. But I mean,
you just wouldn't fail anyone. Like, they'd be all passing.
No, I think that like the pass rate in this country sits somewhere, I don't know, 53%. So, I mean, like, imagine half of your day is giving people bad news. Like,
yeah, no, I mean it's devastating news.
Yeah, just going back to what the listener there asked about being a driving instructor. When I started in driving instruction, I was standing in Finglas Test Centre. I was only in it a few weeks. And a driving instructor who's still working, Paddy Callan, he came up to me and he said, you've just started. And I said, yes. And he says, I'm going to give you two bits of advice. He says, if you haven't got balls and you haven't got patience, get out of it.
Right.
And that has held very strong, because if you haven't got patience and you're very scared, you're not going to last in the business.
One of the things that I saw some just on the research that the anger that's shown to learner drivers is, and like we've all been there. So what I don't get is that people who've had to learn to drive themselves could actually be that angry with people who are really just trying to learn. I don't get the anger, if that makes sense.
Kevin and I were discussing this before we came in, and actually it's crazy. And I even see in the last 2 years the increase in the level of impatience on the road, aggression, and just pure bad manners, you know. And as I say to my students, there's going to be bullies in the workplace, bullies in the schoolyard, and there's also bullies on the road. And you've got to do your really best to kind of, you know, try and ignore them where possible. But it's scandalous, yeah.
One last one. Can you ask your guests why the standard of driving in Ireland is so poor? P.S. Love the show.
I think that what you've got to realise is that we've got a long way to still go in terms of driver education and training in this country, right? So, for example, you can pass the test now and never have been on the motorway, right? Which is just nonsense, really. It should be part of the training syllabus that they either do motorway training before or before they get the full license. It's crazy, right? So you've got that, and then, you know, in the UK, you've got parallel parking as part of the finish of the test. You've got emergency stop. Many more aspects to the test in the UK and so on. So we're not training that because it's not down as a syllabus. But some of us are. But like most people don't even get that far. Coming back after the test centre, I showed the guys there earlier on yesterday. The car was like that. Wasn't even in. It was nearly perpendicular to the car parking space. And off they went in to get the results. It wasn't a pass now, in fairness, you know.
And, you know, it's worth noting that the driving test has not changed in Ireland since 1964.
When I was 4 years of age.
It's still the same.
Yeah, when we look at the syllabus that we've been presented, it came in 2011, the essential driver training. In 2011, 54.5% of people were passing their test.
And it's now 51, is it?
And now it's 53%. So it's gone down 1.5% in the 15 years that the EDT system has been put in place.
Okay. Well, look, thanks for coming in. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Bobby.
I always love to learn something when I'm talking to experts in the field. So thanks for enlightening me and indeed our listeners. Big thanks to Kevin Horgan, Dominic Brophy and Lara Lewis, all in the driving instructor world.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.